Our gospel passage this morning is from the 21st chapter of John, and this is one of Jesus's appearances to his disciples, and this is the one that takes place in Galilee, and this is when he offers them a little breakfast and a special little message. So after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." And they said to him, "Oh, we're going to go with you." Well, they went out, got into a boat, but that night they caught nothing. Well, just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach. But the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" Well, they answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you'll find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you might have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Well, Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Well, none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to them, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." And he said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter felt hurt, because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. And after this, Jesus said to him, "Follow me." It's the gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So now's the time. We've finally come to the crunch. We've relived Jesus' ministry, foretelling his death, his final entrance into Jerusalem, his Last Supper, the trial, if that's what you want to call it, crucifixion, the resurrection, and now his appearances. In other words, we're all sitting kind of in the same place as the disciples find themselves in our gospel message today. We're all like one big happy family right now, because we are all just kind of, we're sitting and waiting and wondering, What's coming next? And the next and the answer that they came up with was pretty clear. They said to themselves, well, we just need to get back to life. And that meant fishing, of course, for them. They were fishermen, even though their first night out was a complete disaster. But there was little more that they could do, right? There was nothing else for them. At least until Jesus shows up again. And, of course, this appearance took everything they knew, again, their entire lives, and just flipped it all upside down. But, you know, this last moment with Jesus was the final chapter. There would be no more questions after this day, because it was all summarized so well for them during a very short but nice breakfast. So you're probably wondering now, if we are in the same place as the disciples are by our sitting and waiting and wondering and so forth, what's Jesus saying to us during this breakfast meeting? Well, turns out each of the readings that are assigned for this Sunday do a very nice job of describing that. But first of all, in all of this, we're to remember a couple words that Jesus is, well, very well known for. And that's those two words, follow me. So what does it mean? Well, what is Jesus saying to us? Well, if you're going to follow Jesus, one thing he's saying is be prepared for change. Things are going to change. That nasty, threatening, you know, open-ended word that some of us just sends a chill up our spine. Yeah, it's all you have to do is just ask Saul, who was renamed Paul. He was just walking down the road, minding his own business, going to Damascus, just another day. Could have been any one of us, maybe driving to Minot or to Sterling or anywhere else, just another day. And then all of a sudden, bang, just like that. And everything changes, upside down. I mean, your life changes, and you're completely broadsided by it. Certainly Saul was. After all, Saul, or Paul as he became, was a man who was absolutely feared by everybody. Now, this was the person, you know, who persecuted Christians. He persecuted them. So, if you were to so much as mumble the name Jesus, you'd have to be careful who heard you say that, because if you ended up on Paul's list of people who are talking about Jesus and Christianity, well, that's when he would come along and seek you out and have you jailed. He would even have some killed. So, now you're probably sitting there thinking, well, that would never happen to you. That's biblical stuff, right? Get caught like that by Jesus? Well, guess what? Got some news for you. Although I have yet to share my faith story with you, however, I will in a couple of weeks. I can assure you, my wife and I, we are absolute living proof just by the fact that we are standing here that Jesus will come. God will come and take your life and just do this to it when you least expect it. I mean, your life can be turned completely upside down. So I'm your living proof that it can and does happen, and it will happen even to you. So Jesus' message doesn't stop with just expect change, because you'd think, wow, that'd be enough, huh? No, there's still something else very important at this breakfast, and it's often glossed over. Notice that Jesus doesn't say to his disciples, you know, I've got this nice bread and everybody's welcome, so come on and eat. We'll just sit down and talk. No, his comment was, come join me. Come join me for breakfast. Bring some of what you have caught and add it to what I'll provide. Now, you can tell that that's got a different feel to it. I mean, can you see how Jesus just is inviting his disciples to contribute what they have and therefore contribute who they are to that special time together? They have become an important part of this gathering of Jesus' ministry. So you can kind of see that this whole thing was really designed to include us all, you and me alike, no matter what. So now, with this breakfast, we've got expect change, and you plan on being included. So what other messages were being talked about, presented by Jesus at this breakfast? Well, you'll also notice that Jesus doesn't give up on you. I don't know if you grabbed that right away, but all I have to say is put yourself in Peter's place. How comfortable do you think Peter was sitting at that little breakfast gathering with Jesus after what Peter just did to him? Do you think he was comfortable? I mean, Peter was a man who said, "Oh, Jesus, I'll follow you anywhere. I'll do anything for you. I'll always speak highly of you. Be at your side all the time." And then what happens? The very day that Jesus is carrying his own cross to his crucifixion, Peter bails on entirely, publicly denies ever knowing Jesus 3 times. But now does Jesus deny Peter? No. He comes right back, and he places the burden of sharing the good news of his ministry, puts it right back on Peter, and then simply tells Peter, "Now, do this with love. Do it with love." So, you know, it's pretty clear. No matter who you are or what you have done, it's never too late for anyone to follow Christ, because he sure believes in you. But he does tell you to expect change, plan on being included, and don't ever feel like you're going to be left fending for yourself, because he'll be with you. And then if you're beginning to wonder why this breakfast was so important in the first place, why is it so important? Or maybe you're wondering, why does God just swoop in and change everything out of the blue? Or if you're wondering why we are reminded over and over again that we are to seek to do God's work out of love. Well, you know, the answer to those 3 questions is probably best answered with another question, which isn't necessarily kosher, but the scripture does a nice job of it today. The answer comes from another question in Revelation, in our text today. And the answer is, do you believe in heaven? So now, we're wondering now, why is this breakfast important in the first place, right? Why does God just swoop in out of nowhere and flip things upside down? And why are we constantly reminded that in following God, seeking to do God's will, it's to be done in love? The answer that we are given is, do you believe in heaven? So there's got to be more. Because my guess is you're probably all saying, sure, I believe in heaven, and most believers do. But now, why do you believe in heaven? And that's when it becomes a little more interesting. There's a Danish philosopher. His name is Søren Kierkegaard. Some of you may know the name. He's quite well written in theological circles. He wondered the same thing. So he's from Copenhagen. He decided to go out in his city and walk around and just ask people, do you believe in heaven? And he found that the majority of people said, yes, we believe in heaven. And then he would turn around with a follow-up question, and then he would ask, so what difference does your belief in heaven make in your daily life? There. Now what he ended up concluding was that their belief in heaven didn't have the slightest impact on the way that they lived. There was an absolute disconnect. It was a disconnect between believing in heaven and your daily life. And chances are that disconnect is from the fear that we have of change, or this fear that we have, this idea that God does not or will never use us personally to do his work, or maybe it's that we just don't feel like we're worthy, right? We're not good enough. But you have to think for just a moment. God started out with a really good plan, right, with his creation. And in very little time, we, humanity, made a complete mess of it, just mucked it up. So God didn't get what God originally intended in his creation. So now today, we have the world that we have made. It's a place of sin, suffering, hatred, lies, mistrust, you know. That is earth. It's a place that is very different from heaven. Now, heaven, of course, is the world as God created it. It's not a place where we get what we want. This is where God gets what God wants. Heaven is not the result of earnest human striving, but rather the results of God's creation and restoration. It's that place, you know, where the Lamb sits on the throne and where all power and glory and blessing and honor is given. And it's this place of love. And this Lamb is one that has a particular place in his heart for the very people who messed up, and a desire to share a very important breakfast and remind them that God's work on earth is not done. And Easter is a time to remember. It's a time to remember that God is love. That is what was intended on earth. Of course, now we had other ideas, but God doesn't leave us alone because of our shortfalls. He continues to include us, you know, to change us, to invite us to eat with him and to come as we are and just bring only what we have, because no one person is more important than another. And that place called heaven is the promise that lies before all of us, each of us. It's a place of love, a place where there is no more suffering. And that's our hope in life. It's our hope in death and in life beyond death. In Jesus' absence, God's work will still get done. God will get what God wants, and the scriptures keep telling us that God wants us to be ready to get our hands dirty and expect the unexpected. And that means expect change, expect to be involved in one way or another, regardless of who you are or what you do, and expect to be very surprised if you're someone who thinks that you're just not good enough. Now that was the message in Jesus' last words to his disciples as they finished that morning meal. Follow me? That's what Jesus said. Those were his closing words. Simple words that just say so much. Amen.